Okay, we do want to remember the Senecs in prayer. They're not here today. Brother Senec was in the emergency room Friday evening. He still has shortness of breath and a lot of fatigue. He is home. He's got some tests on Monday. The doctor told him not to go too far from home, so that's why he's not here today. So do remember Brother Senec in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Dwayne if he would lead us in prayer. Brother Dwayne. Again, we do appreciate those who give the devotionals. They're a blessing. I'd like again to turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. Been looking at the Christian life as it's illustrated in the book of 1 John. This is not a verse-by-verse study. So far, we've seen that the Christian life is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that it involves fellowship with Jesus Christ and also with brothers and sisters in Christ, that it is a life of joy, that it is a life of walking in the light. And the last couple of weeks we've been looking at the fact that it is a life of obedience. And we see that here in 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. We've seen so far that we've been looking at the elements of obedience. Obedience, of course, requires submission to an authority. That is, submission to God's authority. It also requires a knowledge of God's word or of God's laws. We have to know what God expects, what God expects us to do, what God expects us not to do. So there has to be a knowledge of God's laws, and then, of course, a submission to those laws. We saw last week that obedience is precise. And it's not partial. It's not just however you feel like doing it. It has to be exactly as God said, and it has to be done in God's way. So obedience is something that is very, very precise. We also saw last week that it requires strength and courage. Notice in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, book of Joshua, chapter 1, we'll read first few words of verse 7. Speaking of the necessity of strength and courage in order to obey. Only be thou strong and very courageous. That is, in order to. Be strong and courageous in order to. In order that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. There's the preciseness. But you have to be strong and courageous that in order that you can obey. So obedience requires strength. Obedience requires courage. We also want to see today that obedience, of course, is a product of faith. Where there is God-given faith, there is going to be obedience. So when there is disobedience, there is a lack of strength and courage, and there is a lack of faith. Notice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in verse 8, we read, by faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Obedience flows out of faith. In fact, a failure to believe is disobedience. It is called an evil heart of unbelief, there in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. So a lack of faith is disobedience. And we see that faith is obedience. So that immediately raises the question, what is faith? What is faith? Well, faith, of course, is described there in the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 11. But faith is confidence in God, confidence in the unseen. But it's beyond confidence. It's also persuasion. It's assurance. It's assurance of what God said. It's persuasion that what God has said is true. It is also, again, assurance. It's confidence. It's persuasion. It's assurance. And we read, by faith, Abraham obeyed. That is, Abraham believed, and he obeyed. Now, we have to believe, first of all, of course, God. But we also have to believe God's right to command. Many don't believe that today. Many of God's people don't believe that today. That not only is God God, but God has a right. God has a right to tell you what to do. God has a right to tell you what not to do. God has a right to command. And then, of course, it is our responsibility to submit to the commands of God. And this involves faith. So Abraham, by faith, believed, and as a result, he obeyed. He believed God's right to command. He also believed in the rightness or the justness of God's command. Not only do we believe that God has a right to tell us what to do, whatever it is that God tells us to do is right. So not to do that, not to do what God tells us to do, if what God tells us to do is right, then if we don't do it, then it's wrong. That's disobedience. That, of course, is sin. In Hebrews 11, we see the great chapter of faith. A common phrase that you see all through the chapter is by faith. By faith. Or the word through faith. And those phrases are followed by a person's name or person's names. And then what follows that is what they did. What they did by faith. You see in verse 4, by faith, Abel. And it tells us what he did. In verse 5, by faith, Enoch. And tells us what happened. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. And it tells us what Noah did. By faith, Abraham. And again in verse 9, by faith, he, that is Abraham. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah. And again, then it follows what these individuals did as a result of their faith. We read in verse 17, by faith, Abraham. And in verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 24, by faith, Moses. Verse 27, referring to Moses, by faith, he. Verse 28, through faith. In verse 29, by faith in verse 30, by faith the harlot Rahab. Verse 31, through faith, we see those mentioned in verse 32, it was through faith that they subdued kingdoms. So you see, it was by faith that these individuals did something. It was by faith that they obeyed the Lord. Obedience is our privilege. Obedience is our responsibility, and we are accountable to be obedient, but it requires faith. It requires faith to be obedient. That's the root. The root here is faith. We have to have faith. You can't just say, well, I'm going to try harder. I haven't been as obedient as I should be, but I'm going to try harder, and you're going to fail. What you need is to pray, is, Lord, increase our faith. And as your faith increases, obedience will increase. So wherever there is disobedience, I guarantee you there is a lack of faith. Faith is dependence upon God. Faith is reliance upon God. It takes faith. It takes dependence and reliance upon God to obey the Lord. Faith is surrender to God. It's leaning upon God. It's cleaving to the Lord. All these things are necessary to obedience. Faith is looking to God, and not only looking to God, but seeing God, and it's also coming to God. And it's as we do these things, as we exercise our faith, the The result is obedience. So obedience is a result of faith. But also, obedience is a result of love. It is a result of love to the Lord. Notice in John chapter 14, very familiar verses of Scripture. John chapter 14, we'll read verse 15 and also verse 21. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, if you love me, this is how you show it. You keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is, that is the one who has and keeps the commandments of God, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Then notice verse 24, or verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will. It's not he will strive to do so, that's true, he will. But it goes beyond striving, he will keep my words. If he loves me, he will keep my words. Again, 1 John 2, the verses of our text, verses 3 through 5, makes it plain also. If we say that we know the Lord and we do not obey him, we're lying. So obedience is a result of faith. Obedience also is a result of love. And love to the Lord will not only result in obedience, it also causes us to view the commandments of God with joy. There's a lot of people today who profess to be saved who have a pretty twisted view, pretty perverted view concerning the commandments of God. And whenever there is a twisted view concerning the commandments of God, it immediately tells us that something is wrong with that individual's faith. Perhaps they don't possess it. Something is also terribly wrong with their love to the Lord. Notice 1 John 5, verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then it says, and his commandments, that is to those who love God, his commandments are not grievous. They do not cause grief. We don't look at them as a grievance. We don't look at them as something that is difficult and something that we do not want to do. They're a joy when we love the Lord. So disobedience, when a person lives a life of disobedience, that speaks loud and clear that they lack courage and strength. It speaks loud and clear that they lack faith. And it speaks loud and clear that they lack love to the Lord. And, you know, many times when someone is living a life of disobedience, we address the disobedience, and the disobedience needs to be addressed, of course, but I think we make a mistake when we begin to focus on the specific area of disobedience when we need to focus on the causes of disobedience, which is a lack of faith and a lack of love. When someone lives a constant life of disobedience, we need to start talking to them about their faith. We need to start questioning them about their faith. We need to start questioning them about their love to the Lord. And almost any time you question someone's faith and you question their love, you have stirred up anger. You have immediately stirred up their anger. But what does the Bible say? The Bible makes it clear that if one lives a life of disobedience, there is a problem. There is a problem with faith. There is a problem with love to the Lord. And we need to focus on the root causes. You know, otherwise, what we're doing, as we've said many times, if we do not focus on the root cause of the problem, all we're doing is a Band-Aid effect. That's all we're doing. And we have churches full of people with Band-Aids on them. I mean, a Band-Aid on this, a Band-Aid on that. Well, you lift up the Band-Aid, and guess what? problem's still there because the root of the matter has not been dealt with. So we have to deal with the root of the matter, which is a spiritual matter. We see also that obedience to God is a manifestation of our friendship to God. When we obey God, when we want to obey God, and there's a real problem. There is a real problem with one who professes to know Jesus Christ the Savior and does not want to obey God, and who wants to argue in defense of their disobedience. There's a problem here. And we see that obedience to God manifests that I'm a friend. I'm a friend of God. Disobedience manifests I'm a friend of the world. You're a friend of one or the other today. And if you're a friend of the world, the verses there in 1 John, Brother Terry was referring to, you're an enmity, you're an enemy of God. So Jesus said, "Ye are my friends," there in John 15 and 14, if, that's conditional. You're my friends if you do whatever, there's that preciseness again, if you do whatever I command you. If you do that, if you live a life of obedience, you're my friend. Again, Hebrews 11 verse 8, we read, by faith Abraham obeyed. And what is said of Abraham in James chapter 2 and verse 23? Abraham was called the friend of God. Abraham believed, Abraham obeyed, and Abraham was called, in other words, Abraham was known as the friend of God. What a privilege that you and I have as saved individuals, that we have a friendship with God, that we can manifest to the world that we are the friends of God. You should never, ever be ashamed to be a friend of God. Never. And this is a two-way friendship. The word friend today, of course, is quite loosely used, and because of that, the word has almost come to mean nothing. But a friend is not just an acquaintance. A friend is someone you know. A friend is someone you have a relationship with. You have something in common. There is no better friend than the Lord. There is no better testimony today than to be a friend of God. And that is part of the life that you and I are called to live, to be a friend of God. But again, we manifest our friendship to God by obedience. If we're arguing against God's commandments, how can we possibly declare ourselves to be friends of God? And if you're not a friend of God, you're an enemy of God. And that's very serious. In closing, in the book of James chapter 4, in verse 4, a very familiar verse, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So the Christian life is a wonderful life. The Lord has blessed us with physical life. The Lord has given us spiritual life, and what a privilege we have to live that life. Again, as you look around today, almost the whole world, their lives are ruined. I mean, their lives, I would hate to even think about living their lives. And I thank God that He's delivered me from that. And all through 1 John, we have a picture of this life that you and I are privileged to live. And one aspect of that life is obedience. Don't look at obedience as a confinement. Don't look at obedience as some sort of slavery and some sort of infringement upon your rights. Look at obedience as that which pleases God, that which pleases the one who saved your soul. Next week, we'll look at the blessings of obedience and how that obedience is always best. There is never a time when it's not the best thing to obey God. It's always best, every single time, to obey the Lord. So we thank God for this life that God has called us to live. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer.